Why, hello, you. Yes, you. Welcome back to Even More News, the first, the only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
Congratulations on the name.
Thanks.
Welcome
Thanks.
Back to welcoming everybody back to the news show. Hi, I'm Cody Johnston.
Hi, Cody. Joining us today for the very first time, surprisingly, honestly, our friend, our former co-worker, Christian Ramirez. Hi.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Hey.
It's so good to see you digitally.
Yeah. It's good to see you guys.
Got a fun shirt on. Feels like you got a fresh haircut.
Yeah, I wanted to. I haven't had a reason to get dressed
nice.
Like for anything. So I was like, no, I'm
so
putting a collar on.
Honored to be able to give you that reason.
Well, I'm happy to have a reason.
Before we get to check-ins and news and all that fun stuff, well, I'm not going to wish you a happy World Suicide Prevention Day, but I am going to acknowledge that this is World Suicide Prevention Day and World Suicide Prevention Month. We're not going to make jokes about this. We should not make jokes about this, even though we are a comedy news podcast. This is just, you know, you guys all know this. This is a real hard time. Suicide rates have gone up. The psychological toll that coronavirus, that the ongoing onslaughts to human rights, to the environment, to everything that we're seeing from this administration, it's taking its toll. We all understand why it's taking its toll, but I just want to use this opportunity to say that we need you. We need all of you. If we're going to make things better, if we're going to build a better future, and even outside of that, your life matters. So if you are struggling, know, like we always say, that we love you, and reach out to people, check in on your friends, you know, especially people that you haven't heard from in a while. And I don't know, I'm running out of steam here.
I mean, no, it's, yeah, it's tough. We're disconnected from people who can support us and give us what human beings need. We've talked about this before, like when you're when human beings are in a crisis, their reaction tends to be to like go to each other to help each other.
Yeah.
And this particular crisis, the thing to do to help people is the opposite of that. It seems very unnatural and psychologically taxing, damaging to not be able to have that kind of connection.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, even more than I think people already have been isolated. And so it makes that kind of thing harder. And also, yeah, losing their jobs and not being able to afford rent, evictions, healthcare, like all the things that have been exacerbated by this.
The gaslighting that we're receiving from leaders, you know,
yep.
The idea that property or the economy is more valuable than your life.
It's all of these things are connected, and you can't, I think as those leaders can't be completely sincere about caring about human life when they don't value it above things like property. They don't value it above things like the stock market. Like, it's hard to feel like any of that's sincere, but that's why we don't go to them all the time to fix our problems. You reach out to friends, you reach out to family.
Yeah.
If you're feeling down, you don't reach out to your senator. You go to your mom or your brother.
Yeah.
Your best friend.
Yeah.
And that's just something we need to do even more now because we can't do it physically.
Right. And acknowledging that, so just the what you're kind of alluding to, that we don't go to our senators for like advice or anything.
Yeah.
And I think like there's a problem of that attitude sort of seeping into political discourse over decades and decades. This isn't like a new thing. But just the idea of like, oh, I like this candidate because like they'd like help you get over a breakup and that kind of thing. It's like, that's not, we don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not healthy to
you. Mean Elizabeth Warren's plan for getting a boyfriend?
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying completely.
Ooh.
I'd go so far as to say. But yeah, take care of each other. You're needed. You might be alone. You are alone.
We are all
more alone than we are in normal times. But you've got a community here. You know, a lot of people that think like you are out there. And
even people who don't think end. Like you could help you feel a connection to another human being. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of a terrible transition, just honestly, the worst segue you could imagine. The worst one we've ever done by far. I want to say thank you to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Even More News. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbud on the market, and you get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. It's not going to fix all your problems.
No.
But they are really quite cool.
I can help you hear this podcast.
I think we spent too much time talking about those earbuds.
I know. I'm trying to pivot.
We'll be doing it later in the episode. Don't worry.
We will. Don't worry. And we have more to say about those earbuds.
Can't wait.
I truly do think they're great.
Stop it.
Christian.
Yes.
Hi. How are you? We do these check-ins here at this point. You can be as vulnerable and honest or not as you want, as you feel comfortable.
Yeah, I think I'm getting more and more comfortable talking about my current situation. I know I've messaged Katie about this, and I think Cody knows too. But so at the beginning of quarantine, basically, I started the process of getting divorced.
Oof.
Yeah, and so I moved here to the mountains in like April, and that's been tough because, like everybody else, I've been dealing with the constant stress since 2016, and then all the stuff of 2020, and adding this on top of it has been a struggle.
Yeah.
But my good days are lasting longer now. The bad ones feel shorter.
Yeah.
And like the last couple weeks has been kind of rough just because I've been having to like do the actual legal stuff, like filling out paperwork.
Oh, I can't imagine.
It's a weird thing to look at a life together with somebody that's lasted as long as it did, because you don't make it as long, like you don't make it 15 years of dating and then being married without really loving someone.
Yeah.
And then just having to boil that down to like prices and numbers that you have to put on a piece of paper, that's a tough thing. But I do know that I am going in a good direction. I feel lighter most days.
Yeah.
And like more than just mentally, like I've lost a bunch of weight, and like in a healthy way, since all this started, since I moved, and I've just been able to focus on like happy things now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm able to do more writing music and more working on projects that I want to work on. Like I have the mental energy and free space to be able to do that now more than I did before. And I just like I said, it's tough, but the days are getting better, and you just got to give things time sometimes.
Oh, Christian, that is really, 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 really hard, obviously. I mean, look, this is hard. This time has been hard on relationships across the board. You know, people that are quarantined together and in different situations. And I'm sure that this was brewing prior to COVID, but then to be going through this huge life transition when nothing else is normal and you don't have the things that you normally would have to bring comfort and to fall back on. And I can't imagine that. Also just the transition to, it just exacerbates this solitary, this lonely state that we're all living in.
Yeah. I feel very lucky because I had a group of friends that lived back home where I'm at right now that happened to have a room in the house free that I could move into pretty immediately. And like, and they've been there for me on nights when I'm not having an easy night just to talk to. So it's, I feel, for all the hardship of it, I do feel very fortunate to have people like that in my life.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds, not to be hooky booky as my friends call it, but like almost like, all right, not cosmic, but you know, you're like, this is it. You get to this point in time where you have to make this choice, and look, you're taken care of. You've got a space, you've got a place that you can go that's safe. And that's something to be hugely grateful for, which it sounds like you are. I know people listening to this right now might be going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, God, I feel for everybody, but I feel for you guys right now.
Yeah. And my only thing to them would be keep going.
Yeah.
It does get better. You got to give it time.
It does. It's like anything.
Yeah.
Not like anything, but you know, I talk about grief all the time here. This is another kind of grief, and it does move on. It'll rear up, and it'll, like you said, you'll have the bad days, but you start to learn how to handle the bad days. And this is corny. I don't know if I've said this recently, but I do always come back to it, especially when I'm talking to people about breakups. I hate my low moments, but I'm also grateful for them because my good moments do not exist without the bad. Your future happiness does not exist without this transformation.
Yeah.
Time heals all wounds, folks.
Time heals all wounds.
You ever think about that? All right. I'm just saying.
That sounds gold. That's the stupidest platitude.
Platitude? I just came up with it. What are you talking about?
You just came up with that?
Yeah. Like if you were trying to heal like a wound, like in your life, like just
I would say that time doesn't heal wounds, but our body's amazing resourcefulness
over
does.
Time. Okay.
What is even time? I think if there's anything that we've learned from 2020, it's that time is meaningless.
Just because it's still March doesn't mean that
it's March. I thought it was February.
Well, that's the problem with time.
All right, it's time to talk about the wildfires.
Oh.
Fuck. Yeah, you guys may have heard, or I don't know if you haven't heard, maybe you've smelled it, but the West Coast is just on fire. And yes, I know that we always have fires. I grew up here, but the fires are absolutely getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Look up the pictures from the Bay Area being covered in smoke if you haven't seen them yet. The skies are all red and apocalyptic. It's literally sepia toned outside my window. It's like somebody is bathing my room in an orange light.
Yeah, it's an Instagram filter in real life. It's
an Instagram filter. An old-timey photograph. Yeah. I feel like I'm in the Wild West. Along with that, Los Angeles and other areas are experiencing record heat waves, along with all the smoke. Last weekend in Los Angeles, areas of Los Angeles, it hit 121 degrees. And then we also recorded possibly the highest temperature ever recorded on Earth in Death Valley, which was 130 degrees. I could go through all the different fires currently burning here in California, but there's just so many. The one you guys have probably all heard of is the one that was caused by a pyrotechnic device at a gender reveal party.
Yeah. Stories like that, I'm like, ah, all right. It moves in and out of my brain because it's like unimportant, but also like relevant. Do we know what the gender was?
It was fire.
So like a
it was destruction,
like a lion, like what the but like what's the what's the baby?
It's Antichrist.
Oh, Antichrist. Okay. Well, that's
a demon. Yeah, that's
it's that a demon sense. Baby. I don't know if it's the Antichrist.
Did they like
don't
cut,
very know
they
much
cut the
about
the cake
them.
And it started to like bleed or something or like
what's... it was born of fire.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Maybe it was a dragon. I don't know.
Oh, that's. You never know. It's hard to tell the difference between a demon and a dragon when they're a baby. So
they don't name that goddamn baby Khaleesi. I don't have anything else to finish that sentence with. It's just
you're
it's
so
a
mad
threat.
You couldn't even finish it. You're so
I don't
mad.
Even like making jokes about this. It's too bad. It's too awful. I mean, and it's not the first time this has happened either. Regardless, I don't want to spend much time talking about that because it's just a part of the problem here. There are so many fires here. I can't talk about them all, so I'm just going to share this tweet from Gavin Newsom. California fires in 2010. 4,927 fires and 118,000 acres burned. That's already not good. California fires in 2020 so far, 7,606 fires, 2.3 million acres burned. Climate change is real. And this isn't even taking into account all the fires in Oregon.
Nope.
Or the fact that an entire town was destroyed in Washington state. And meanwhile, extreme weather patterns are playing out all over all of the states, like in Colorado, where they went from 100-degree weather to being blanketed in snow within a few days. It's hard to talk about this. It's just depressing. I mean, yeah. you know, it's hard to be handling this on top of everything else in a pandemic. And it's painful to see that we're losing valuable ground every day while, you know, we continue to drag our heels on drastic action. And I put this at the top of the episode because we talk about, again, grief a lot. And I think that this is a good opportunity to bring up climate grief, which is indeed a very real thing. It sounds like one of those, you know.
You can say hooky-booky again.
Hooky-booky terms. But it is. It's a thing. It's this depression that we see, the debilitating depression, when we see our natural resources, our homes, animal populations being destroyed, the uncertainty over the future. And especially as we're talking about, you know, suicide prevention, I think it's important to give a name to this and to acknowledge the feelings that are there and the fears that are present as we watch things literally burn down around us.
Also, it's uncomplicated, but it's complicated too. Because even like with these fires, it's a natural thing that happens.
It is. I'm glad you're saying that. It is.
Also, it's a thing that needs to happen.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of times, like, we spend prison labor on suppressing all these fires.
Okay, but in California, we just passed a bill to allow prison workers to become firefighters.
Yeah, that is one after positive thing.
When they leave.
Because right now, good. Okay. They don't. Yeah. That is a big part of this. I mean, I have had a lot of conversations with people. There's people in my life that have been in prison. There is a benefit. Some people want to do this, you know, want to volunteer for it. The problem being is that they aren't paid enough or anything.
Yeah, it's
slave labor.
It's coercion.
And also, they were not allowed to become firefighters afterwards because they had a prison record. So that is being fixed. But anyway, to your point, Cody.
Yeah. Just aside from the labor we use to do that, oftentimes we'll suppress the fires extensively. When they're not even necessarily in areas where people live. And those are the areas where, scientists recommend, like, controlled fires and doing this because it's supposed to happen. So even the reaction to it isn't helping the situation. Because then if you keep suppressing it, then more, like, dry brush and everything, like, builds up and up and up. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter, natural, like, because of the climate change.
You mean sweeping the forest isn't it helping?
Sweeping the forest is not helping. But if you keep doing that, then more builds up, so the fires are going to get worse because you're not actually doing the correct kind of burning.
I think that's really, it is important. Fires are natural. They are a part of this cycle. Absolutely. What you're saying is very important, how we handle it, how we prepare for fire season, how we approach it. Fire season. We haven't even hit peak fire season yet. But the climate change aspect is absolutely a part of this. The fact that we're having these extreme weather patterns, and extreme winds, extreme heat.
Notice I can say this while also saying, and climate change is real and we should do a bunch of things about it.
It's both things
most
are true.
Most people that say the thing that I just said about the way fires are supposed to happen will say it's totally fine and natural. Climate change isn't happening. We don't need to do anything about it.
Yeah.
You can do both things. And but it's just most people choose one or the other.
And this also feeds into the climate crisis in another way, in that it creates climate refugees.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that is a big problem that doesn't get talked enough. Like, people don't talk about it enough, especially people in power, because they just look at the storms and they look at the fires or whatever it is in particular. And they look at them while the event is happening and say, okay, we need to help these people. But then the people that lose all their homes don't get enough aid to get a new home where they were, to relocate. Like, all these people end up just having to move from these areas.
Yeah.
And it makes people go into debt, and it makes people, and it does cause stress and all this extra stuff that does contribute to, like we were talking about, mental health and suicide. It
mm-hmm,
contributes
absolutely.
To all of those things. They're all linked together because we don't help people enough when things like this are happening. And it's just a part of that cost, the mental cost that it does to people. But it's also a part of a very real, like, financial cost to the rest of the country when people don't have insurance, when people don't have jobs that they can afford insurance on their homes or their things. So then they just have to start from nothing. And that's bad for everyone.
It impacts us all.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an extreme sudden version of that Shapiro, like, oh, if the ocean rises, just sell your home and move. Like, well,
right.
What are you talking about?
Right.
Jinx.
Hey, I agree with you.
You're not honoring the jinx.
Completely.
We got a lot to get to, so I want to move on to another topic, but we will be, of course, paying close attention to this.
We'll be watching the fires very much closely.
Very closely out my window.
Yeah.
Actually, I just wanted to say vote for Biden.
Yeah.
Fun.
I don't love that that's our option to save the planet, but it's better than the alternative. Better than the alternative.
It definitely is.
All right. Let's talk about...
Save the planet. Good luck, Joe. Sorry. Go ahead.
Honestly, good luck, Joe. Trump and the military. I want to talk about that bombshell Atlantic article from, I don't know, last week. We've already established time doesn't mean anything. It was recent. We're going to talk about it anyway, but this felt like a particularly good time because, Christian, you yourself served in the military.
I did.
What did you do?
I was
there.
No, I was in the Army, and I was specifically in the infantry. So I was out, boots on the ground. I have a lot of feelings about this.
Let me start by reading a quote from the article, and then we can unpack it. When President Donald Trump canceled a visit to the Ain-Marne American Cemetery near Paris in 2018, he blamed rain for the last-minute decision, saying that, quote, helicopter couldn't fly and that the Secret Service wouldn't drive him there. Neither claim was true. Trump rejected the idea of the visit because he feared his hair would become disheveled in the rain and because he did not believe it important to honor American war dead, according to four people with firsthand knowledge of the discussions that day. In a conversation with senior staff members on the morning of the scheduled visit, Trump said, quote, why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers. In a separate conversation on the same trip, Trump referred to the more than 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood as suckers for getting killed. Okay. pretty horrifying, actually. I don't want to forget to mention God. I mean, he's said so many things like this.
Yeah, it's just he's echoing everything he's ever said and done and thought out loud to people around him.
How several times he's referred to John McCain as a loser.
Yeah, like,
you know, we're not going to support that loser's funeral.
I like soldiers who weren't captured is what somebody said. That's like what he didn't say sucker in that sentence, but that's the tone. That's what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. How about when he died and he saw flags, when McCain died and they saw the flags lowered to half staff? What the fuck are we doing that for? Guy was a fucking loser.
Yeah.
God, this is wild. Okay, Trump has denied the allegations, of course, but the article has been corroborated by other news outlets, including Fox News. Fox News corroborated this. The reporter, Jennifer Griffin, in the piece that they put out, Griffin also said one of her sources said that, quote, it was a character flaw of the president. He could not understand why someone would die for the country. Not worth it. And here's where I'm going to definitely want you to chime in, Christian, on your thoughts. I mean, any point. But Trump did a Labor Day press conference and addressed the issue by saying, quote, I'm not saying the military is in love with me. The soldiers are. The top people in the Pentagon probably aren't because they want to do nothing but fight wars so that all of these wonderful companies that make the bombs and make the places and make everything else stay happy. Are soldiers in love with him? Christian?
I'm sure some are.
I'm sure some are as well.
I would like to... Oh, just yeah. just before...
yeah, go ahead.
The overwhelmingly soldiers donated to Bernie Sanders during the primary over every other candidate, including Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But, just throwing that out there. Yeah. Sorry, Kristen. Go ahead.
No, no. And I think just to build on that point, I think the reason is the military is the thing that made me believe in socialism because all my needs were taken care of when I was in the military.
Yeah.
I had all my medical needs taken care of. There was a housing allowance. There were things like there were grocery stores on base where things were cheaper than they were off base. There was all of these things. There was, and if you couldn't afford to go to the grocery store, you could go to the dining facilities. Like literally everything in the military is socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
that's interesting. I had never heard a phrase like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't have an army without those people being housed, being healthy, being fed.
Yeah.
Like these are all things that you have to have. And it's all things that me personally, and I know a lot of other soldiers and veterans feel like everybody else should have, because it's not confusing when your founding document talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness being inalienable rights. These are things that the government has to facilitate, because you can't just have life and liberty without anybody else's input or without help from someone. I don't know, but okay. So
yeah,
I mean, you can't even
no,
you
I
can't
mean,
pursue happiness. And if like, we literally have a hierarchy of needs that we talk about,
right?
It's
exactly,
you have water and shelter and food. Those are the base things. That's life. That's the life part. And in order to get to the other things, the pursuit of happiness and like self-actualization and all these sort of things higher up on the pyramid, you need to have the base taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And also, look, I will say that Trump's criticisms of endless wars are not the thing I'm going to take issue with about the man.
True.
I agree.
He doesn't agree to that, though. He's not. He's
no,
not
he doesn't.
He doesn't agree to that.
Come on.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't check out, and none of it. I mean,
drone strikes went up. He's killed more people. Like he,
exactly. Like, I guess you can't say that we've
civilian
started
casualties are
a
up
full
since he
new.
Became,
But yes, I mean, like, we haven't declared a new war, but we almost did.
Mm-hmm.
Tensions around the world are up. Our relationships with other countries have deteriorated. Mm-hmm. It's not for lack of trying that we don't have a war.
Yeah, we're also still in the wars.
Like,
we're still involved in Yemen. We're still involved in all these wars. He has amped up all of the things that he is like mad about. It's bullshit, and it's always been bullshit. It's been a while since I brought this up, but in his vlog, when he was a vlogger at his office, he said that we should go into Libya, take out Gaddafi, and then after we do that, charge the people half of their oil for doing that on a humanitarian basis. He described it as a humanitarian effort to go in, take them out, and then charge them their oil and just take their oil. That's his idea that he had.
Give that man a peace prize.
And so, like, yeah, he's obviously full of shit. It's everything. It's why at the RNC, they didn't have a platform. They had what he did, what he promised in 2016, but again, because he didn't do the things.
Yeah.
Term limits on Congress was one of the first things he ever said that he was going to do. Not a word since then.
I sometimes with these stories, I'm like, we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the, like, there's something in me that wants a call to action, that wants to give like some nice positive thing, but I don't know if there is here. Do we think that this will move the needle for people? Do we think anything moves the needle for people at this point? You know?
Right. I think the Democrats actually putting out a platform talking about what they want to do would possibly move the needle for them.
Yeah.
Because we need to know that. We need to know what are you going to do, not just what are you not going to do. And this is a thing about the military, because it's such a large organization. you do get, it's not a monolithic presence. There are going to be Trump supporters that are diehard Trump supporters no matter what. There are going to be people that are socialists. And this is something, though, that we all need to, I don't know, it's this American exceptionalism idea that I've been trying to define, where Trump and Republicans are telling people, can say things like, these people that died are suckers, but then they can go and still have an audience that thinks, well, they're not talking about me. Mm-hmm. They're talking about those people, so it doesn't
people
matter.
People that died.
Right, exactly. But I'm still here, so obviously I'm not a sucker. And it's such a message that's pervasive and, like, gross, and it causes all these things, like, in the military, that's it's very cliquish. Just from being an enlisted person, I know that you don't get advancement unless you're friends with the higher-ups. Unless mm-hmm. they personally like you, it doesn't matter how well qualified you are, it doesn't matter how good you are as a soldier, you're not going to get promoted. And the military does the same thing that a lot of the problems in the military are a lot of the same problems that we have with police. It's there aren't enough good people there to report things like sexual assault, to report things like just people ruining other people's careers, people going missing and stuff like that. Because
I mean, we're not even talking about Fort Hood, right? That's where,
because it's all these upper level people that are determined to protect each other,
right?
Because they know that if one person gets investigated, then these things that I've that are questionable that I've done might also get investigated. So it's like Vanessa Guillen was the one that's the most recent, like the biggest story recently, where she went missing after all the sexual assault issues. And there's just constantly soldiers that are committing suicide or going missing because they're not actually supported, because there's just this insidious nastiness with these people that are determined to do bad things and then protect each other when they're doing them, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to have each other's backs. Like that's how they sell it, but it's bullshit.
Thank you for that. That's important perspective with all this.
Sure.
We got to take a quick break, but then we're going to be right back, guys, for even more news. Oh, so, calm down. Don't worry about it.
Hey, remember when we couldn't shut up about earbuds earlier? Do you want more? Well, too bad. Here it is. That's right. It's time to get these wireless earbuds into you.
Oh, heck yeah. We teamed up with Raycon, and they're offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/. They are extremely comfortable and perfect for doing the long lists of things one can do with listening devices. Like I said, I actually really do love them. They're great. I mean it. I wear them all the time, every day.
Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls such as these, when you're trying to do ads. Do you see wires, Katie? Do you? Anyway, the company was founded by Ray J, so...
Okay, sure. They also start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Their everyday E25 model, which... my model of choice, I gotta say, has 6 hours of playtime. Also, they let me hear things.
Yeah, they're actually really good. Anyway, get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. That's buyraycon, buyraycon.com/evenmore for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/evenmore.
And we are back, as promised, for even more news. Speaking of bombshell reporting, well, I was speaking of that earlier. I'm going to remind you now that I was speaking of it earlier, so when I wrote this, that transition made sense. Anyway, speaking of bombshell reporting, let's talk about this Bob Woodward book for a minute. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. How unbelievably believable is this? For those of you who missed it, Bob Woodward has a new book coming out. And for this book, he sat down with the president multiple times, taping the interviews.
Months ago.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that part. I can't reiterate enough. Trump knew that they were being taped, by the way. And yet he still admitted that he not only knew that the coronavirus was deadlier than the flu, and that it was a real problem way earlier than he claimed. But he actively chose and continues to choose to downplay its threat.
Just real quick before reading the actual quotes, it's interesting that he did know that they were recording, but also it's completely on brand and in our reality where he say whatever, whether it's on tape or not, people will believe the certain thing and other people will not believe that certain thing. And then time will continue.
Absolutely.
It's very frustrating, but
blows my mind though, that
I mean,
this person, like,
that's where we're at.
He just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Or was he didn't think of it? He didn't think, oh, I shouldn't say this.
Right. Either he didn't think it mattered. And so he did it anyway. And, whatever happens,
it's
happens.
Wild.
Or he didn't think of it and didn't think it was a big deal. And it just so happens that, like, he's right. It'll work out. Yeah. Like, no scenario is good. But
I'm going to read this. This is from NPR. Quote, "This is deadly stuff," the president told Woodward in a February 7th conversation. According to the book, which is called Rage, you just breathe the air and that's how it's passed. So that's a very tricky one. It's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than even your most strenuous flu. But at the time, Trump was publicly saying that the virus was less of a concern. On February 10th, he told supporters in New Hampshire, "Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away." Later that month, Trump tweeted that the virus was very much under control in the USA. I don't need to read all of these examples.
He also said,
we know how often he did this.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks later, he likened it to the flu.
100%.
He said, look at all the people that die from the common flu. It's no big deal. And so is this not a big deal? And then,
but I'm going to finish this quote here because this is also part of the important thing.
Ooh.
About a month after that first February conversation, Trump admitted to Woodward that he had been playing down the virus's severity. "I wanted to always play it down," Trump told Woodward on March 19th. "I still like playing it down because I don't want to create a panic." One study has estimated that if the United States has implemented social distancing measures just a week earlier in March, some 36,000 lives could have been saved.
But Katie, last year, 37,000 Americans died from the common flu. So that's only 1,000 more than the 36,000 you just said.
So we all just need to calm down, huh?
Yeah.
Cody alluded to this. He's right. This happened months ago. Woodward and his publishers knew all of this back in February and just like sat on it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a book.
The deal. That's the book stuff. That's what you do these days.
Yeah. What a hero.
You don't inform the people. Maybe it would have had an effect. I actually don't even think it necessarily would have done anything if like in March or April, this came out in like an article, because it would have been more the fake news or whatever, however they would have played it.
Yeah.
But it might have convinced a few people. It might have gotten more people on board with like the fact that it's a serious thing. Take it seriously.
Sure. But on a personal level, I don't know that I could live with myself.
Oh, yeah. No, like in terms of like what he did and like on like professionally, like everything's like, why would you don't wait until September for like, I guess like it's the election time or whatever. Do it when it could matter, when it could have an effect. Which is really
on
really,
people's
really
lives.
Frustrating and disappointing.
He could have even like leaked that and then said, "This is part of a book that I'm writing."
Yes.
And he still would have made money off of his book.
Yep. Like,
listen to Christian.
Yeah.
A smart businessman. Anyway,
well,
I'm going to read.
Marketing, Bob. Look it up.
Trump's response. This is from The Independent.
Ugh.
"Mr. Trump told reporters he told Woodward one thing and the American people another, because being honest in public would mean you're going to have bigger problems. I don't want people to be frightened," he said. "We want to show confidence. We want to show strength. The last thing we can show is panic or excitement or fear." He said at the end of an event on his expanding list of conservatives who might be Supreme Court nominees if he wins re-election. And okay, we can talk about the Supreme Court nominee list in a second if we want.
Sure.
Or not. I don't know. It's one more reason to vote for Biden, because we can't have a Supreme Court Justice Ted Cruz. But that's not
Are
what we're talking
sure?
about in this moment.
Who doesn't want me to judge you? Okay.
Cody would have a long career. You already will have a career impersonating Ted Cruz. Let's focus.
Hard pass.
Let's not talk about that. I want to focus on this excuse of not wanting to show panic.
I mean, that's
going to
be very prominent. You're already seeing it with people who are like, he was right. He didn't want to panic anybody. You can inform people about the truth without panicking people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what leaders do. That's what good leaders are capable of. They're capable of communicating things like that without causing panic and without withholding that necessary information from the public. Also, Donald Trump loves creating panic. He loves freaking people
out. Thank you. Yeah.
He talks once for a month every year. He's like, guess what? The caravan's on its way. The caravan is back, folks. They're going to murder you from the caravan. He loves making panics. It's disgustingly stupid.
Making panic sounds like what he calls his poop.
Okay. Calm down. That he can't flush and he needs new the new water.
That's when
water
you panic. Yeah. That's the panic part.
He needs multiple flushes, yeah.
Also, I'm old enough or young enough. I remember 4 years ago when Hillary
You're
Clinton,
of an age.
I'm of an age when Hillary Clinton talked about having a private and public position, which I have issues with that she said that. But I remember Donald Trump being like, oh, he's got a public and private position. You're doing that now, bud. You're saying it out loud. You're saying that you have a public position and a private position right now. It doesn't matter. No one remembers anything. It doesn't matter.
And it's all part of their whole stupid ideology of having to seem strong no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like because he knows that his administration is the one that fired the people that said that a pandemic was going to be the next big issue that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he actually admitted that they were right, which, I mean, he's never going to do anything like that.
No, he can't admit.
The irony here is that if he had been straightforward, if he had handled the pandemic like he should have, admitted any of this stuff, he would have made a much better case for reelection than just ignoring it and letting the numbers skyrocket.
Yep.
He would have won over people that are on the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting to see that and see how it plays out and see, like, because, I mean, I don't, you know, every day I'm like, I mean, he could win, he could lose, he could win badly, he could win not great, and that, like, who knows? He definitely would have had a big boost from everybody if he did this right away, admitted that it was a real thing, tried to treat it responsibly, given people a lot of money and canceled rent. Like, done. There are things he could have done to
shift of that,
and take advantage of people is what he would be doing. He'd be
absolutely
he'd be doing it insidiously.
I mean, he got to sign that check with his name on it. Do more. Because here we are. We're approaching 200,000 people dead. Our numbers, I guess, have stabilized in some sense, but they're not going down, which is very concerning. We're almost certainly going to be facing more surges as schools reopen, the winter. I mean, we're already there. Universities are being overwhelmed by cases.
Yeah.
And as you said about money, Congress, they've stalled yet again on a relief bill. I mean, the Dems are blocking the skinny relief bill from the Republicans, which they should, because it was appalling. There's nothing in it. But this is after a month off for vacation in the middle of this. It's wild. And my point is, this does and has always come from the top. We've talked about this in other shows. Would it have also been hard with a Democratic president? Of course it would have. But the lack of clear leadership, the lack of consensus on what's true and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was all the way back up to him.
Yeah. At least.
And Herman Cain is dead.
That's true. At least with Democratic leadership, they don't just straight up deny scientific facts most of the time.
At the very least.
Like, at the very least, we would have had people that were able to acknowledge that this was going to be an issue. Even if they had been incompetent, we would have been better informed. It's just incredibly frustrating.
I want to finish up this show by touching on
Ted
a topic
Cruz
that you pitched us, Christian. And I'm glad you did, because it's really important. And it's one of those things that have slipped from the forefront of everybody's mind with everything going on. But that is the border crisis and how this is affecting immigrants and detention facilities and all of that. And I'm really grateful that you brought this up. You suggested this, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you take lead on this.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of articles recently just about, because this is an ongoing crisis. It's something that has been happening, that's going to continue happening. until we have an administration that cares to do something about it. Which is questionable, which means that it's up to us. It's up to all of us people to keep reminding people in power that this is something we're not okay with. Because they just, Vox just published a report about ICE and Homeland Security, DHS, keeping children in hotels where they're, and they were citing that it's because of the coronavirus, but in reality, it's because they're, the cruelty of separating people is the point of this. It's this, and that is the main thrust of all of this stuff that's going on at the border, is that we have an administration right now who believes that the cruelty that they are enacting on these people is the right thing to do for them. It's why we have so many sexual assault lawsuits and allegations that are coming out against the guards in these holding facilities. I guess we can touch on that real quickly because that's its own issue.
Yeah.
Is that these guards, and these are coming out from multiple sources. The ACLU is one. I mean, that I read an article from them. The Texas Tribune has articles about it. There's so many different articles about it. And this is an ongoing problem where people are getting assaulted in while they're being held captive in these detention facilities. And then a lot of times they are being deported. And if you see those two things and you don't realize that they are being deported because if they weren't, then they might be able to testify against these people. Mm-hmm. Then I don't know what to tell you. That's how this system is working against these, against migrants. And I don't know.
Yeah.
There's more to cover, but I guess you guys can talk.
No, I mean, it can't keep saying something is horrifying, but it is. And it's so hard to keep track of. It's so hard to keep track of everything that's happening or the things that we need to be doing. And especially with all that's going on. And I know that coronavirus cases have been bad in detention facilities. Mm-hmm. I know it's been bad in prisons. I know it's been bad everywhere. Yeah. And I don't, but these people, you know, I don't know. Do you know off the top of your head how many more, like, where we're at with detained children?
Between March and July, at least 660 migrant minors, 577 of them unaccompanied, were held in more than 25 border area hotels, according to court documents. That's hundreds of children. And this is the kind of stuff that, like, this is stuff that QAnon people and, like, conspiracy theorists talk about all the time, is these kids going missing and ending up in hotels. But they don't care. They don't care about this because it's...
Yeah, they don't care about these children.
Right, exactly. And that's what... And thank you for echoing that, because that's what this administration is depending on, is that enough people just won't care, that this is not going to make a difference to people.
Yeah.
They feel like they can keep getting away with these things because Donald Trump is a person who continues to say horrible things and call people rapists and murderers and all this kind of stuff. And so that everybody else is desensitized and forgets about these people that are just trying to come here to, a lot of times, escape violence and persecution and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's, And there was the Vox, or no, it was Daily Beast, had an article about the ad that I guess Stephen Miller was in charge of making for ICE. That's
a good marriage right there.
Yeah. God. And it was about, in the ad that got really quickly pulled off of YouTube, it was a couple of Border Patrol agents talking about the people that get away, and then they go to the one instance that they constantly use of the murder of the woman, I believe, in San Francisco, who was murdered by a migrant person. And they highlight that and use that as a way to try to strike fear into everybody about immigration.
Yeah.
Because that's the playbook that Stephen Miller is operating on. So it's the playbook that the Trump administration is operating on. And it's just, it's horrible. And we know, we see it happening, and there's not a lot we can do about it because not enough people care.
And I feel like a lot of, even sometimes see a lot of the response to talking about this, is the, well, Obama made the cages and stuff like that, which isn't wrong. I mean, it's wrong, but like, it's not incorrect.
Right.
And, that sort of shuts it down as being a thing worth caring about. Right. Oftentimes where it's like, well, they both do it. So like, wow. And it's like, well, you can point out that it stemmed from this. It's crueler now.
Yeah.
It's purposefully crueler now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think people tune it out because they don't know what to do.
Right.
Or also the media doesn't run with it anymore, you know? But they're so overwhelmed, and that's not an excuse by any means. It's just another heartbreaking layer to this disgusting party dip that we live in.
Yeah, it's we have concentration camps on our borders.
We have concentration camps.
And it's like people talk about, you have insincere goblins like Ben Shapiro who talk about, well, these things aren't happening, so they're not Nazis, but all the things are happening that led up to Nazis.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're incapable of acknowledging that fascism doesn't start at the end.
Right.
They
but
can't.
We're getting pretty close. Like, we've got...
And that's what the next 4 years would look like if we don't. And that's a good way to wrap this up, to remind you to vote for Biden, see if you're registered to vote. Yeah. I don't know. Do you
donate
guys
to the ACLU, I think. Donate to find organizations that are raising. And yes, vote for Biden, because it was a judge that said that this practice of keeping children in hotels was illegal. We need to have Biden in office so he can appoint judges. So that the next time RBG has a health scare, we don't have to freak out because we're going to get Ted Cruz.
I mean, she's just got to at least make it in through inauguration.
Yeah. Just make it to January, please.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the chance that they'll, you know, the whole like, well, you can't do it in an election year. You got to wait for the election.
Sure.
They pulled last time, that they'll do the opposite of that this time for sure.
But if something happens.
I also feel like it's too close at this point.
Sure.
Like it's almost October, right? Like I feel like they wouldn't be able to, but who knows? Like, I don't,
comfort me.
Again, maybe Ted Cruz will
She's alive. You're not going down that road just yet.
Yeah.
Christian, it's such a delight to see you. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you online and stuff to promote?
Mostly I'm on Twitter, at FanboyChristian. That's Christian with no H. You can also find a bunch of my work on the Small Beans Network with Abe and Michael. I had a podcast with Abe about science. I've also done a bunch of appearances on Gamefully Unemployed. I always like to promote those too whenever I have the chance. And I guess keep an eye out on the Small Beans Network, because I've been, like I said, I've been working on music and stuff again. And I'm not promising anything, but in the near future, I plan on having something coming out.
Excellent.
That's exciting and vague. Yeah. Excitingly vague.
Very excellent.
Something musical coming out with that. The suicide prevention thing made me think of this, because when I'm down, I like to think of this one little fact about the world and the universe that kind of lifts me up. We don't understand what consciousness is yet. So for all I know, it's a soul. For all I know, it's just molecules in my brain. But no matter what, the odds of that, all that stuff coming together at a time and place where I can have these friends that I have, where I can do the things that I do and entertain people and hopefully inspire people sometimes, the odds that they would come together and make me at a time like this are basically mathematically impossible. The little molecules that make me decided, or not decided, just happened to make me at a time where I get to do a podcast with Cody and Katie, and I get to do other stuff with my friends, and you guys were able to also come together at the same time and create a network of people that all are hopeful and wanting to do good things. And I think that's pretty amazing.
That is such a beautiful point, Christian. Yeah,
we are
right. So that's a really good perspective. Really,
yeah, we're all very lucky to be here together. No matter how dark things get, we've got each other. And that's pretty great.
That's perfect.
And no matter what, like you said, no matter what the cause of it is, no matter what the purpose of it is, you find meaning.
Yep, we're like still this. Here. We're still here together.
Damn straight. We love you very much, guys.
We love you.